Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Well, we ought to shout it on that one. Hallelujah. Sister Hurst, will you come help us? This is our last time with the tabernacle. I don't know, we may get to it in another 20 years again. We'll come back to it. But for right now, this will be the last session. And by special request, we are going to sing one more time, I Believed the True Report. Brother Mike, I don't know if you still have that back there. I remember even a child as we sang this, I understood what it was about. It was about drawing near to God. How many knows that's what we're here for on a Wednesday night, is to draw near to God? I do believe he's in the house. And I do believe if you have a need tonight, if you just reach out to him, you'd find that he's close by.
I believe the true report, hallelujah to the Lamb. I have passed the outer court, oh glory be to God. I am all on Jesus' side, on the altar sanctified to the world. And sin I've died, hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Oh, hallelujah, yes, hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Well, I'm a king and priest to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb by the cleansing of the blood. Oh, glory be to God by the Spirit's power and life. I am living day and night in the holiest place so bright. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, sing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
I am living in the presence. Oh, listen. I have passed the outer veil. Hallelujah to the Lamb, which did once God's light conceal. Oh, glory be to God, but the blood has brought me in to God's holiness so clean, where there's death to self and sin. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. I'm within the holiest pale. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I have passed the inner veil. Oh, glory be to God. I am sanctified to God by the power of the blood. Now the Lord is my abode. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in. Amen. We're not barred. We're invited in. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living. Oh, one more time, that's our desire. Hallelujah, oh hallelujah. I have passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I am living in the presence. Oh, if that's your desire, why don't you just worship him? Hallelujah. Well, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. The tabernacle, our last visitation here. This is the final session. And I want to end up with this thought at the end of the evening. Today's
tabernacle. Today's tabernacle. We've been accustomed to seeing this picture, the manifestation of God's presence in the middle of the Israeli camp. I want to talk just a little bit about our understanding of the tabernacle and how it gives many New Testament scriptures just added significance. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at just a few of many New Testament scriptures and see how they ought to explode with meaning since we've covered this tabernacle. I want to start by saying, however, to their loss, there's been a big segment of American Christianity and Christianity of the world that has this thought. Now that we're in the age of grace, grace has relieved us of any law keeping. And since the Old Testament is about the law, in this age of grace, we no longer need the Old Testament. There's whole churches, teachers, groups of Christians that believe that being the age of grace, all we need, all we should read, all we should get excited about is the New Testament, and we just do away with the Old Testament. Well, first of all, they are cheating themselves big time. Secondly, they are inaccurate. You don't get more New Testament than Jesus and the apostles. But do you know what Bible Jesus and the apostles preach from? The Old Testament. When the New Testament Christians, we're talking about the early days, when they went to church, if they had a Bible, what Bible were they carrying with them to church? They were carrying the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. And besides that, about all that law keeping, have they not read the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. In fact, I'm going to raise the standard. The New Testament isn't about getting rid of God's law. It's about the power God gives us to keep it. So I've said all that to say this. I'm thankful for the Old Testament. I think it's valuable, the time we spend in our study of the Old Testament. They misunderstand the grace of the New Testament, therefore they develop an aversion and a disdain for the Old Testament. But just think of the many spiritual truths of the New Testament that have been made real to us by our study of the tabernacle of the Old Testament. It was once put this way, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The Navy, the rope of the Royal Navy of Britain used to be like this, but it had a red cord down the middle of it. And you could cut the Navy rope of the British Royal Navy anywhere, and wherever you cut it, if you looked at the butt end of that, you would see red. I believe the Old Testament's that way. The truth about Christ is concealed in everything of the Old Testament. The Old Testament's the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is, The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Those things the prophets were talking about in the Old Testament are made clear. They're revealed to us in the New Testament. Now, in reference to the tabernacle, there's two ways that it shows up in the New Testament. The first is a direct reference. I, first of all, was going to spend time with this. I'm not just briefly. I'm just going to give an example of a direct reference in the New Testament of the tabernacle. Of course, the whole book of Hebrews is pretty much a direct reference to the tabernacle. How many likes the book of Hebrews? It interests you. Well, the reason it was written is because persecution got turned on these new Jewish Christians, and they were thinking about going back to the old system, the temple, the sacrifice, the priest, the feast. They were thinking about going back, but the writer of Hebrews said, listen, you shouldn't go back to the old system, because what we have in Christ is far incomparably better than what they had then. And not only is it better than what they had then, what we have in Christ is the fulfillment, is the completion of what they had then. But let's just take one example before we move forward tonight. Hebrews 10:19. Let me just do this, read this, and begin to insert the things we learned from the tabernacle. We could start shouting with the word brethren, having therefore brethren boldness to enter. Why can we start shouting at the word brethren? Because it's plural. We learn from the tabernacle that only one man one time a year got to enter the holy place. But already we can start shouting because it's not a brother or a priest, singular, that enter. It's brothers, sisters. We all can enter in. Boldness to enter. They stood before the door filled with fear, not knowing that at what time they might be slain by God, as Aaron's son Nadab and Abihu were slain. They had that fear that they could be killed at any time, but we have boldness to enter the holiest. What's the holiest? That's that holiest of holies we talked about, where the Ark of the Covenant was, the throne of God. Today, as New Testament Christians, we can enter the very throne room of God. It's what it refers to. By the blood of Jesus, not the blood of goats or rams or sheep, but by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. I'm just giving this example so I can't get bogged down here, but the word new literally means newly sacrificed. By a newly sacrificed way. Not those old sacrifices of animals, but by the new sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And here's the emphasis, by the living way. That old way was the way of death. The animals died, and the priests, if they didn't do right, they died. It was all about death, but this is a way about living. When you come to God now, it's not about death, it's about living, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That veil that blocked the throne room of God in the tabernacle, that kept men from the presence of God above the Ark of the Covenant, that veil was ripped. That's why he says, that is to say, his flesh. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was ripped. And now we have access to God and having a high priest over the house of God. Oh, we could talk about all that Christ has done. Now, this is just an example of a direct reference in the New Testament to the tabernacle. But what I want to talk about tonight, well, I got in a hurry here. Let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from evil conscience. Moses sprinkled the people with blood, sprinkled water, and then our bodies washed with pure water. Where did they wash? Where did they wash that in the tabernacle? They washed at the laver. How do we wash? With pure water. Jesus said our laver is the word. When you hear the word, it's the washing of your soul. Amen. So that's a direct reference, but I want to spend time with the indirect reference and bring this down to today's tabernacle. We're going to move rapidly. We're not going to take long, but these things are important. Here is an indirect reference to the tabernacle. You may not see it at first, but it's there. Let's read it. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Where is the indirect reference to the tabernacle? If you see it, just wave a hand at me. Do you see the indirect reference to the tabernacle? Is it there? It's there. It's in one word here. Dwelt. And the Word... Now. We're not reading the original languages, but those that heard this, those Jews that heard this the first time, they would have immediately thought of the tabernacle with that word dwelt. And the Word. Let's back up just a moment. Who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word dwelt amongst us. Or literally, since the Word was God, God dwelt amongst us. How's the word dwelt a reference to tabernacle? Because the word dwelt is the verb form of the noun tabernacle. When the scripture says the Word dwelt amongst us, it uses the word that's the verb of the word tabernacle. Remember, the word tabernacle means tent. It's temporary. And so the Word dwelt amongst us is literally what John was saying, the Word tabernacled amongst us. Just like that tabernacle was in the middle of the Israeli camp, and in that tabernacle was the presence of God. When Jesus came to earth, he was God's tabernacle among men. Jesus brought God to mankind. Can you say amen? So the Word was made flesh. Here's God's presence in the Old Testament. Amen. This is the pillar of fire. Back here's the holiest of holies. And God's Shekinah glory filled that innermost chamber. But this is God's tabernacle. Now, when Jesus came to earth, it wasn't that tabernacle of skins and that framework of gold and all of that that we talked about. When Jesus came, that man Jesus was the tabernacle, because within him was God. He was God. He was God amongst men. God in the tabernacle made of skins and framework of wood. Over here he is. There's God. There's God within that tabernacle of skins. But who's this? This is God in the tabernacle of man, made of flesh and bone. Oh, what a marvel that is. Wasn't his name Emmanuel? God with us. So what do you see here? You see the tabernacle in the Old Testament. What do you see here? You see the tabernacle of Christ's time. That tabernacle of God was Jesus. The Word dwelt amongst us. I want you to notice, this is Old Testament. God gave instruction to Moses to build the tabernacle. Notice these words. They're so important. The language is so important. And let them, this is what God says to Moses, and let them make me a sanctuary. Make me a tabernacle that I may dwell among them. Isn't that what he said to Moses about the Old Testament tabernacle? That I may dwell among them. Now compare that to the verse we just looked at. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. There it is. I want to dwell among them in that tabernacle of skins. But now it's New Testament, and the Word was made flesh, and He was the tabernacle of God. God dwelt among us through the tabernacle of Jesus Christ. Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. What was the purpose of the tabernacle, the Old Testament? We're not going to go into all that again. We're just going to restate it. The purpose of that tabernacle, the Old Testament, was God dwelling among men. The tabernacle was given that God might be available. That tabernacle was placed in the middle of the camp so that everyone had equal access. I want to tell you, before Jesus came, he was in a place men could not go. Men could not find him. But when we could not come to where he was, he came to us. Jesus walked on earth, and when he walked on earth, he was available to me. And that's why the sick came around him. That's why the demon-possessed came. That's why those that were lost, they came to him, because he brought God to the people. The purpose of the tabernacle of the Old Testament was to make God available to the people. Jesus made God available to the people. The tabernacle was given that God might be approached. The whole purpose was that the unholy people cannot approach a holy God. The tabernacle was a way that sinful man could approach, come in the presence of a holy God. Amen. Without Jesus, we still wouldn't be able to come into the presence of God. But Jesus was the tabernacle that made a way that unholy people, sinful people, could come into the presence of a holy God. And how did he make the way? He took the unholy and made them holy. Amen. Through his blood. And the purpose of the tabernacle was given that God's presence might be apparent, that people might be aware of the presence of God. I'm telling you, when Jesus walked the earth, he made God's presence apparent. In fact, he told his disciples, "He that has seen me hath seen the Father." He said, "I have come to show you the glory of the Father, to give you the glory that I have." So Jesus was the tabernacle. Now, I want you to get this one point before we move forward and bring this all together. How did Israel know God's glory was in past that veil? They couldn't go in there. The high priest could once a year. But how did the children of Israel know that God's glory, God's presence, was in that innermost chamber, the Holy of Holies, past that inner veil? In fact, if you're on the outside of the tabernacle, on the other side of three curtains, three divisions, how did they know he was there? They knew he was there because God gave evidence that he was on the inside by fire in the night and a cloud by day, by a column of fire on the outside. That column of fire on the outside said to Israel, you could be on the outskirts of camp, several miles from the tabernacle, but if you looked and you saw that column of fire above the tabernacle, you knew that God's presence was on the inside. You knew that God was on his throne. And so as the glory of God was within the tabernacle, with evidence of it being there above it, so was the Father's glory within Jesus and evident by being upon him. So let's go back to the tabernacle. Here's the Ark of the Covenant in the holy place. This is the best we can do of the presence of God. The old Jewish rabbis called it the Shekinah. That was the light of the holiest of holies, the very glory of God. How did Israel know God was in there between the wings of the cherubim? By this right here. That column of fire on the outside said to Israel, God's presence is on the inside. Keep that in mind. We're headed somewhere with this. God's presence is on the inside. Let's look at it in the scriptures. He reared up the court round about the tabernacle. He set up the hangings. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. He sat between the wings of the cherubim. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of the congregation because of the cloud that abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up, I skipped a verse. No, I didn't. I skipped a different insertion I wanted to put here. But and when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they would not journey until the day it was taken up. Here it is. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. That pillar of fire that God allowed people to see at any time, or the cloud by day, said to them, God is on the inside. God is on the throne. His presence is there. Now, I belabor that to make this point, because let's look. God's presence on the inside because of the column of fire on the outside. Now, let's talk about the tabernacle, Jesus Christ. The Father filled Jesus with the Spirit and gave outer evidence that he had done so. In Jordan's River, John baptized Jesus, filled him with the Holy Spirit. In a sense, he wouldn't have needed that. That's for our example, because he's God, but he did things by the power of the Spirit so that we might know that's how we are to do it, being human and not God. But Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. How did the people that day know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit? God gave the outward sign on the outside. On the outside of Christ came the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. Hallelujah. Just like the tabernacle. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. Now let's go back for a half a second. If you'll stay right here, amen, it's going to mean something in a moment. But not only did that pillar of fire above the tabernacle say that God is on the inside, it also said this: you built this tabernacle, you provided the supplies, you set it up as I instructed you, and this fire coming down upon it is evidence that I have accepted this as my dwelling place. I have accepted the tabernacle you constructed as my dwelling place. I am pleased with the work of your providing and building this tabernacle, and my fire upon it says this is my acceptable place. What did God do? He filled Jesus with his glory. And then the Holy Spirit, to the eyes of the people, descended upon. That was the cloud upon Christ. It said, God is on the inside. But it also said, this is my beloved Son. I am pleased to dwell in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's the pillar, the cloud. Now let's talk about, go back in history just briefly to show you the pattern, the temple. After Israel got to their promised land, they settled down. They built government offices, etc. But they built a permanent place to worship God. It was the temple. Solomon built it. Here's Solomon's temple. But what happened when Solomon got his temple built? Once again, when Solomon got his temple built on the day of dedication, the fire of God fell upon the temple. Let's look at the scriptures quickly before we move forward. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, read this with me, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Solomon built that temple, and at its dedication, how did they know that God had accepted Solomon's temple as his dwelling place? Sister Brock, because just like at the tabernacle, the fire came upon it to say, I've accepted this temple as my dwelling place, and I'm going to dwell within. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you're excited yet, but let's look at the pattern. Let's move forward to the church. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about this. That's not really the church. That's a church building. That's a building that houses a church. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about people. Try to find your all's picture, but didn't have it available. This is the church. God dwelt in the tabernacle. God dwelt in Solomon's temple. God dwelt in Jesus. But now he's got a new dwelling place. It's the church. Hallelujah. And how do we know that God accepted the church as his dwelling place? Because suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire and set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They built the tabernacle. The fire came upon it. God said, I accept that as my dwelling place. My presence is going to be in it. They built Solomon's temple. The fire came down upon it. God said, I've accepted Solomon's temple as my dwelling place. My presence will be in it. Jesus came, was baptized. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit descended. God said, I accept him as my dwelling place. But now the born again, the blood washed, gather together and begin to pray. And suddenly the fire comes from heaven and comes upon them. God said, once again, that is my dwelling place. I have accepted them as my dwelling place, and my presence is going to be in them. Hallelujah. We are the tabernacle of God. Hallelujah. The fire fell. The Greek word literally implies that it came as a huge ball of fire from heaven, and when it came into the room where they were, it split apart. And a little tongue of fire rested upon each believer of those 120. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, this is exploding with meaning. Because what did God do when he began to dwell within that holiest of holies? The fire came upon the outside. What did he do when he began to dwell in the men and women that are blood washed? The fire came on the outside. Just like you could look at this fire and say, God is on the throne in the holiest of holies. God's presence is there. You could look at this fire and say to each of those individuals, God is on the throne of their heart. Jesus is Lord, and he dwells within them. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we're the church of the living God. We are the tabernacle of God. That's why we can have service. Amen. We can see people saved and delivered, because beyond this cathedral here, we as the church, we are the temple of God, and he sent his Holy Ghost and fire, amen, to say, I have accepted you as my dwelling place. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We as the church are the tabernacle. And when people walk through those doors, they may be backsliders, sinners, people in need, people afflicted, people bound. But when they walk through those doors into the gathering of God's people, they ought to be entering into the Holy of Holies. They ought to know that the presence of God is here, and God is on the throne. Hallelujah. One more. God in the tabernacle, God in the temple, God in Christ, God in the church. But I'm talking about today's tabernacle. In reality, it comes down to this. It's God in the believer. God in the believer. I'm telling you, as an individual believer, if you'll open up your heart to God, He will fill you. And the fire will come upon you too. It may not be a visible like it was on the day of Pentecost, but there will be something that will emanate from your life that will tell those around you, God is on the inside. How many really believes that? God will put His blessing and power upon you, that if you as a believer have Christ in your heart, emanating from you will be the evidence to those around you that God dwells on the inside. From your countenance to your character to your confession, people will know there's something different about you. Hallelujah. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your heart is a throne. If God's on that throne, He dwells there. The fire will be upon your life. Today, the believer is God's tabernacle, in whom God desires to dwell in all His glory, and from whom He desires to show His glory. Just like the tabernacle, God was on the inside, but it showed on the outside. If God is truly on the inside of us with His glory, His will is that that glory shines from us to the world around us. Amen? Tabernacle, fire fell, God's on the inside. Temple, fire fell, God's on the inside. Jesus, Holy Spirit comes. Amen. God is on the inside. Church, the fire falls, God is on the inside. Believer, today's tabernacle, God fills a believer, and the fire, the evidence, the passion, the zeal for Christ shows on the outside. I think the question as we complete this tabernacle series, Brother Brad, if you could get ready, let's sing, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. I believe the question is, what am I filled with? You know, after the study of the tabernacle, let's just suppose it still stood and you heard about it and they're going to do a documentary on it. And as they set the cameras up, first time that veil's been passed and centuries. But when they pushed aside the veil, what would you think? It was just filled with all kinds of trash and clutter and junk. Wouldn't you be disappointed? What am I filled with? You know, our hearts are vacuous. They'll be filled with something. Some folks are filled with bitterness and anger and pain and suffering and vengeance. Some are filled with self. The backslider shall be filled with his own ways. But I think the question is, as a believer, what am I filled with? Does God's glory shine from my life to say to the world, God is on the inside? I don't know if you've ever had this. If you ever have an empty room in your house, it'll never stay empty. You can move into a new place and say, well, we got enough bedrooms, this room is empty, you know, it's just, it'll never stay empty. How many knows that? It'll soon look like this. I was reading in preparation for a series that I'm praying about the man that the demon went out of him, and he went out and searched here and there and came back and found the place empty. Went out and got seven more worse than he, brought them back with him. Our hearts will never remain empty. They'll fill with something. Amen. So what am I filled with? What am I filled with? Do I have God's presence? I'm to be the tabernacle of the presence and power of God. And if I have that, its evidence is going to be evident to the world around me. Let's stand and just let's finalize. You know, I could have done it about drawing near to God, but I felt like we need to finalize this series by singing, Lord, I want to be your tabernacle in today's world. I want people at work, the neighborhood, to look at my life and know that God is there, the God who can deliver. Let's sing together.
Lord, prepare me.
Would you sing with Brother Brad? Let's
to
sing.
To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for
you. If you desire to be God's tabernacle today, would you lift your hands and say, God, make me that sanctuary. Make me that tabernacle, Lord. I want my heart and life to be filled with your presence. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Continue to reach out to the Lord, but I want to pause here. Continue to pray. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a believer. You're so tired of your life, your heart, your innermost being filled with so much junk, so much mess. I want to tell you, if you would come and surrender your heart to the Lord, He'd clean that out. He'd clean your heart out. He'd take all of that out of your heart, just clean you out inside, and then fill you with His divine presence. Fill you with His joy and peace. Maybe you're here and you are a believer, but you know the presence of God has not been evident in your life. And you say, I want to be so full of the presence of God that it's evident to the world around me. Amen. As we sing again, whatever the case may be, if you want to be God's tabernacle, I want you to come and fill these altars. Let's sing it again.